That won't be changed.
Ah, okay. Was it recording? Yes. All right. So, everybody's here? Okay. We're going to quickly review what we spoke about last week to then hopefully give the final answers to our multiple dilemmas. We started off with the following questions. There is a minhag which is not prevalent in Tinek, not to have knedlach the first night of Pesach. So that was our first question. Why is it that we have developed this minhag, or people have developed? I'll tell you, for example, the Soloveitchiks had this minhag. No knedlach the first night. What's behind that?
Apart from Gebrauch.
Nothing to do with Gebrauch. Second question we asked was this very striking pashut pshat in the Rambam and the Machaber, that if a person falls asleep in the middle of the Suda, he might as well, when he wakes up, not even think about eating anything else, including the Afikomen. That's it. No more achila. If you fall asleep in the middle of the Suda, no more achila. And we see that the Nosek Kalim on this Machaber and this Rambam refuse to give pshat that he's talking about emsatz asuda. And the Rama, in fact, and others say that he's talking about you've already started to eat the afikomen. You must be talking about a situation like this. You started to eat the afikomen. If you think about it, it's a pretty absurd thing. You started to eat the afikomen and you fell asleep, and now you can't finish the afikomen. That's what this din is. That's why the Maharil is very compelling. Even the Maharil is the odd man out. The Maharil has this kumra, halacha l'maisa, that if you fall asleep during the Suda, don't bother eating when you wake up. So we wanted to understand that. Those two halachas. So in order to get to the answers, we began to discuss the ikar mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night. You know, that is the Erev Tochlu Matzos. That is the Kiyam Daraisa. The Chiyuv Daraisa is the first night to eat matzah. What exactly is the mitzvah? The way the Shulchan Aruch presents it in Taf Ayin Hei is, and it's a mitzvah to eat a kezayis matzah. And that's the mitzvah. So the first question is, when are we yotzei that ikar chiyuv of this kiyum of achilas matzah, daraisa? So we saw there was a machlokis amongst the Rishonim. First we had in the sugya on Kuf Yud Tes on the days, Rashi and the Rashbam clearly beferish say that the ikar mitzvah is the afikomen. The afikomen is the real chov of the matzah, and that's when you're mekayim the mitzvah daraisa, it seems, of achilas matzah. What then would be the function and the purpose of the first kezayis? So we were speculating, possibly you need to have a suda siyantiv, you need to have lechem mishnah, so you had to have matzah. But clearly, if the afikomen is the chiyuv of the achilas matzah, legabe the mitzvah daraisa of achilas matzah, that first kezayis is just rishus. It's just an achilas rishus. We then saw the Tosfos on Kuf Chaf disagreed. Or at least the first daya, there's two dayas in Tosfos. The first one says, no, the ikar mitzvah, the ikar achilas matzah, is not the afikomen, but it's certainly that first kezayis. So, machlokas Rishonim, which is exactly, when are you mekayim the mitzvah? So we asked the question, so who's right? And do we have a raya from our practice, which one we hold to be the ikar mitzvah? So someone shouted out very astutely, well, we make the bracha before the first one, so it must be that that's the ikar mitzvah, that's the winner. The winner is Tosfos, and Rashi and Rashbam are out. Now, if you say the ikar mitzvah is the first one, so what exactly is happening with the afikomen? What is that? Why are we doing that? We yotze the mitzvah of the kezayis rishon. So what's the afikomen then? So the rishonim will say that, like the Rush. The Rush says that zeicher to the korban pesach, right? But others, like the Rambam, do not. They still see that there seems to be ambiguity, which we're going to get to in a minute, even greater ambiguity. But the Rambam, for example, who's going to say the ikar mitzvah also seems to be the kezayis rishon. Then he also says, but there's a mitzvah in eating the afikomen also. A mitzvah of achilas matzah. So the mystery begins to reveal itself, and a lot of confusion about exactly what's going on here. We see that machlokas Rishonim, straightforward. Rashi and the Rashbam say that the ikar mitzvah is the afikomen. Tosfos says it's the kezayis Rishonah. we seem to have a raya, the bracha comes before it, right? So is that a real raya? So Tosfos himself is on the same Tosfos, says, and I'm not going to bring you a raya from the bracha. That's not a raya. Why? Because even if it's true that the Iker mitzvah, the Kiyum Matzah, was the Afikomen, nevertheless, we would still make the bracha before the first Kezias. Why? The Achash Amile Kriso, you don't make a bracha, right? And literally, what that means, after you filled your stomach with matzah, presumably that first Kezias matzah, so even though we're saying the Iker Kiyum is later, nevertheless, you just can't make the bracha after being Mile Kriso. So we said, what does that mean exactly? Why not? If it's an Achilas Rishus, when it comes, right? It's a not obligatory Achilas Matzah, when it comes to the mitzvah of Matzah, why am I making the bracha then? It doesn't seem to make any sense. What's this concept of Achash Mile Kriso? So we threw around some possibilities. That what? Yeah. What's that? Ah, not after Chatzos. Oh, you mean after Chatzos you shouldn't eat matzah at all, right? Yeah, therefore. Ah, that's very nice. That's very nice. Because, in effect, you're breaking the whole intent of that din. If you call the first one Rishos, excellent. That's a new one. I mean, I've seen many Achronim discuss this issue. I haven't heard anyone bring that one in. Very good, Yanku. Everyone hear what he's saying? It's an excellent point. Right? If there's a whole din that I should have real taiva for matzah and save it for the achilas mitzvah, and if the rishon is not the mitzvah, then I'm breaking that whole thing. I could answer you and say, well, I have no choice. Right? Really, all things being equal, I shouldn't. But in this particular circumstances where I have to have lechem mishnah and I have to have a suda, so maybe I am. But that's very good. Our answer should answer that as well. Anyway, what we saw... Say it again? It was the Korban Pesach with matzah and marum, you know, the whole thing together. It was, you'll have it with, right? We're going to come back to that in a second, exactly. What exactly was the Korban Pesach and how that relates to everything? We're going to get to that at the end, when we get to the real essence of this mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. But before we get there, let's just quickly continue the review. We then said, okay, so is this Achash Amile Kriso, is this a related to eating, a culinary din? So we saw clearly it's not. Why? Because we found the parallel, an exact parallel, that in no way relates to Achila, and that is the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar, right? We saw that we have the same type of issue of this mysterious, which is the Ikar Chiyuv, which is not, and we're making the bracha earlier, right? Tosfos Adaf Kuf Tesvavim Sachim says that we have a nice analogous situation when it comes to the Tkiyas Demiyushav and the Tkiyas Demeumad. What are the Tkiyas Miyushav and Meumad? Miyushav are the ones that are blown, the first kolos, the first 30 kolos that are blown before Shmone Esrei. And the Meumad are during the Chazaras Hashatz, right, with Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. Now, Tosfos says, which is the Ikar Kiyum of Tkiyas Shofar? So I'll say there are brachos. The Ikar Kiyum is to do it on with the Shmone Esrei, with the Malchus, Shofars, and Zichronos. So, when do we make the bracha? Before the early ones. Why? Same idea. L'acha shemila kriso, we're not going to do it. So, we have this strange idea, again. We don't really understand what it means, because we're making a bracha by what seems to be the non-chiyuv. Why is that okay? What is this acha shemila kriso? So, we tried to answer it.
That's not such a good shayla from
Shofar. Yeah, go ahead.
Shofar originally is supposed to be Seyda.
Yeah. By when? Because they were doing that all together first. Well, right. Well, the truth is, we don't really need anything but the Seder of Brachos. The additional one was added on. We saw that. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also. The Arve V'Sasatan, right? So if you're not worried about Arve V'Sasatan, you're only going to do, I'll say there are brachos, then there's no shayla altogether, according to the original Takana. It's once you have you're putting it in Musaf, and then you had to do it anyway at the beginning, Kedei L'Arvev Sasatan, that's when the question comes into essence. When they were masaking that setup, so why did they do it in a way where they put the bracha before the one that is only L'Arvev Sasatan?
Certainly preferred because it used to be al seder habrachos, but we lemaisa we would say that you blow 30 kolos by the kiosk and you shav. Yeah, we should try to hop the whole 100, but at the end of the 30, we're really
enachinami. We're going to say that in a second, but there's no question. Tosfos is mafurish. Tosfos uses the following lashon when Tosfos makes this point in Rosh Hashanah, or it's actually this is in Psachim and Kuf Tezvav. Tosfos says b'zeh lashon that. He's trying to show that it's parallel to matzah. And he says, you see that there's precedent for this by maror, which I didn't get into, but there's also by maror. A special case of maror, if you're using for the karpas chasa, which is maror, right, you have the same type of scenario set up if you think about it. But I don't want to get into that now, it's going to complicate things. But just stick with shofar. So he says, by shofar, we clearly, that's only l'arvev esasatan. Why are we saying it later? I'll say that the brachas, that's the ikar kiyum. And nevertheless, we make the bracha then. It's Tosos's point. But your point's well taken, you'll see in a minute. Because at the end of the day, we're going to see that there's a paradox that comes in, or a difficulty. And that is, there's a difficulty by matzah we mentioned, and a difficulty by shofar. The difficulty by matzah is the Rashbam clearly says that the Ikar Mitzvah is the Afikomen, and yet, in the beginning of the Masechta, on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, when that halacha, the famous Mishnah that says, Arvei Psachim lo yochal adam ad shetachshech, right? You shouldn't, samach lemincha, you shouldn't eat until... nighttime. So in explaining what's the reason for this din, why is it that you're not allowed to eat Samach Lemincha on Erev Pesach? Right, so there is a din on every Shabbos and Yantav not to eat at that time. What's special about Erev Pesach that the Mishnah says it? Well, it's the cover of Yossi. Rav Yossi who holds by Arvev Shabbosos and Yamim Tovim, you are allowed to eat. It's Dafka by Erev Pesach, he says, suddenly you're not allowed to. Why? For the mitzvah of matzah should be eaten the teyavon. And the Rashbam there, clearly, the same Rashbam who later says it's the afikomen, over here in Tzadi Tes, he alludes to, it's talking about the first kezayis that you're eating the teyavon. That's the whole reason for this din, about holding off and making a suda, samach lemincha. So now I have the same exact rishon. On the one hand, he's saying the ikar mitzvah is the afikomen. And on Tzadi Tes, he says, basically, the ikar mitzvah is the kezayis rishon. That's like your shayla. And even more like your shaila is what's going on in Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos said in Psachim, the Ikar Mitzvah is Aseder Brachos, right? And the other one's just L'Arvev Sasatan. But in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel, so over there they're discussing all the different tkios. So they mentioned the minog in the times of the Baalei Tosfos was that what they did was for Malchios they would do tkiyah Shraim Trua tkiyah. Then Zichronos and Shofros, they would do either Shraim or Chua, just different one each time. That, Mimanav Shach, you're not going to be Yotze. We cover everything, right? For Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, we do all the different types, because we're not sure, it's a suffix. Which is the real Chua? Is it Shraim, Chua, Chua, or Chua? We don't know. So we covered everything, but in the times of the Baalei Tosfos, for some reason, they weren't doing it during the Seder Abrachos. So everyone has different take on it. Rabbeinu Tam makes a suggestion about doing it differently, but at the end of the day, Tosfos answers the following way. They said, no, it's not really a problem at all. Why not? Because we're Yotze, the mitzvah d'oraisa, with the tkiyos, the miyushav, like you were saying. He says, beforeish, the same Tosfos that said, no, the ikar kiyum is the Seder Abrachos, the later one. He says, but here, no problem, because you're really Yotze, the d'oraisa, in the first one. So which is it? Everybody seems to be confused with all these things. So we started to say and develop the following global approach. No. Right, that's a shiloh to itself. Right, that's a whole shir. But it's very, that's an interesting issue. But here, no. Here, we're making one bracha. Originally, we thought we were making the bracha before the thing that was the rishus. That was how I posed the question. And we were achar l'shamila krisa. We're not going to make the bracha later on what everybody was calling the chova. And now I'm seeing it's not so simple, because the very same people that called the second one the Chova are now saying you're Yotze, the Mitzvah D'oraisa, with the earlier one. So what is this? What's going on?
That's the right. Not anything about the Arachos and what we make
What do the abacosas have to do with matzah and the...
No, but
we don't have the kasha anymore. Why we're making the bracha now is easy. We're making the bracha because we're being mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa at that time. There's no more. The bracha question's over. Now that I'm like saying that it's both, I'm saying, you know what? It's not. All along I thought, why am I making a bracha? It's rishus. It's not a mitzvah. But now I'm in a new area. Now I'm come to a new understanding. There's a mitzvah at the beginning and there's a mitzvah at the end. So I'm making the bracha before the first mitzvah, which is the appropriate thing to do. The thing is, though, what exactly is this arrangement? There's a mitzvah at the beginning, there's a mitzvah at the end. It's a kazayis matzah, is the chiyuv. So it should be there's a beginning mitzvah and then it's over. How could it be both at the beginning and the end? And if you'll tell me, which is the way some want to develop it, well, what you have here is the ikar mitzvah, and then the mitzvah mina mufchar is to do it this way. So in other words, you have the basic mitzvah, kazayis matzah, but to have tam matzah b'piv at the end, that's really doing this mitzvah in its beautiful totality. There's the Hidur mitzvah. Shofar, it's nice to get the 30 kolos in, but to do it, I'll say there are brachos. That's the mitzvah min amufchar. So we said, okay, that must be what's going on. That's the simple explanation. But then, I was very impressed with one of the MTA guys. I told him over this year, one of the kids chimed in right at this moment. It was very impressive. He said, but what about the Grizz? Right? You guys remember this? What's the problem with the Grizz? There's a very famous Grizz by Chanukah and by Mila, right? Where the Grizz develops this whole thesis that you can never have the Hidur mitzvah separated from the Ikar mitzvah. That's a big no-no, right? We seem to be, this is Rav Asher Weiss's kasha, right? We seem to be breaking that rule with this whole explanation. Because here we have this at the beginning and this at the end. That's where we left off with that tremendous cliffhanger. How can we be Yashiv the Grizz? How can we not be contradicting the Grizz? Everyone appreciate the question? If you don't appreciate the question, I refuse to go on. Does everybody appreciate this question? It's a biggie. It's a biggie. In other words, this is really how it works. There's definitely a key in mitzvah d'oraisa with kazayis rishona. Absolutely so. And now, many rishonim will say, there's definitely also a key in mitzvah with the afikoman. So if you want to just answer and say that you have an ikar mitzvah with a hidur at the end, you're going to tell me that I'm able to do ikar mitzvah at one point in time and have a big hefsek, a big separation, all sorts of things going on, and then throw the hidur mitzvah at the end. And according to the Grizz, it just doesn't work that way. He showed it by, I don't want to go through the whole thing again, but he showed it by Neres Chanukah, that's the way it is. That's why the Rambam, just to tell you quickly, the Rambam says, you have to have the number of candles equal to the number of nights and the number of people in the house, but make sure it's one person lighting all of them. You don't have everybody lighting their own menorah, because you're going to then have the Hidur mitzvah separate from the Ikar mitzvah. And it's got to be the Ikar mitzvah, Neri Shubay, so done by the same exact person in the same act as the Hidur mitzvah, right? And he said the same thing by Bris Mila. By a Bris Mila, if you're cutting the Mila off and you're Yotzei the mitzvah, right? So you could do the whole thing in one swoop, right? Not on Shabbos, but on a regular weekday. And you can't go back now and do the Hidur mitzvah because you can only do the Hidur mitzvah, which means beautifying, taking all the foreskin off. You can only do that if you do it all at the same time as the Ikar mitzvah. But we don't have any, there's no significance to a Hidur mitzvah that's separate and distinct from the Ikar mitzvah. But we're saying that we're doing that very thing, both by shofar and by matzah.
So one can make the chiluk that by the case of menorah and by the case of mila, the hiddur is a completely discernible, visually discernible act. In other words, you have the tzitzin shema'akvin, tzitzin she'enim shema'akvin. You've got the extra candle. So somebody who's looking can see this is the hiddur part. This is the main part of the mitzvah.
Okay.
By eating matzah, you know, my 14th bite doesn't look any more beautiful than my 13th bite of matzah.
That's a completely different piece.
What?
There's the kazayis rishona,
right?
And then there's from the prusa that you had broken in the beginning, an afikomen, with which you are now accomplishing.
It's more of the same thing,
no,
though.
It's different.
It's either way.
If I showed you a picture of me chewing matzah and said, well, what am I eating?
Right, but why should that make, with the Grizz's point, though,
right.
I'm not sure that should make a difference. Okay. In other words, it's still, in reality, you're separating the Hidur mitzvah from the Ikar mitzvah, even if it's less apparent. It's not a Marasayan issue, though. He's saying it's the essence of Hidur Mitzvah. By the rules of Hidur Mitzvah and the meaning of Hidur Mitzvah, you just can't do things that way. So it has nothing to do with what the Roim meant or anything like that.
Is Afikomen a choice?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're required to have Afikomen, right?
Yep.
So how could that be a Hidur Mitzvah?
Well, what we're saying is, in other words, Lagabi the mitzvah of achilas matzah, right? It says be'erev tochlu matzos. There's a chiyuv matzah we have to eat a kezayis matzah the first night of Pesach, right? So the ikar mitzvah is just to eat a kezayis matzah any time, any place, as long as it's erev Pesach. The hidur is to have that be the very last thing you eat, right? And have nothing afterwards, and that you go off into the night with tam matzah b'picha and nothing else. Yeah. So you're mechuyev to light all the candles. Also.
Not that way.
But it's only a hidur mitzvah. There's a hidur mitzvah in Neri Shabeso. And we're the full kiyum is that. So good. You want to say this is more than just. Good. Good. Yep. Good.
Can you say that this is a microcosm of the night? So we mark up the Nisim Sayim Shah, right? So we start off one way.
Right. Right, the matzah, the essence of the matzah changes from lechem oni to something that mesaprim alav and derech eres and the whole deal. Right, the famous word. Right. So you want to say that it's a different mitzvah?
Right.
It's still part of the mitzvah min hamufchar is to have that extra element. Right. That's part of the mitzvah min hamufchar. Right. But we're focused on being mekayim one mitzvah, the mitzvah of achilas matzah berech tochel matzos. How are we mekayim that mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch says, everybody says, Kezayis Matzah is the minimum way of doing this. And, by the way, you need this other thing at the end. If you want to do it in the best way, Mitzvah Minim Ofchar. But you're getting at something else. Maybe it's not just Mitzvah Minim Ofchar. Maybe it's something more. So, it is. And the segue into that is another kasha from Tosfos. This is a Tosfos, this Tosfos is in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Tes Zayin. Tosfos over there is asking really the Gabi Shofar, but it's going to be the same thing by us. He says like this. He says, what's with this Tkiyas Tim Yishav, Tkiyas Tim Umad? Isn't this a problem about Tosif? Right? The Ikar Mitzvah Daraisa is the first 30 kolos. So I'm going to do now an extra 30 to have it, I'll say there are brachos. I'm doing a mitzvah twice. Isn't that a problem about Tosif? So what would you answer? It's obviously not. We do it. Why isn't it about Tosif? Oh, it's like a Rosella Vichik thing. The shofar is part of the tefillah. The kol shofar is a chelik min tefillah, and that it's he's a whole vote on that. But the truth of the matter is, we are already mafurish saying in our shir here that we have two kiyumim of the mitzvah daraisa. That's what we've gotten to. There's a kiyum at the beginning and a kiyum at the end. Why is that not bal tosif?
But you know that they're connected because of the other halakha you said. If you fall asleep.
No. We're not ready for that yet. We're not ready for that yet. Hold off. We're not ready to answer that. We're getting there. You're right that that's going to be very nogeya. Once we figure this out and get it straight, we will have the answer to that question. Totally. That question will just be mimela answered. You're right. If you're there already, then you're skipping a step. Because the step is the following. Tosfos answers his own kasha about the Baal Tosef. He said, not Baal Tosef. Why? Because Baal Tosef means you have a given mitzvah, and you add elements to the mitzvah, five parshios in the tefillin instead of four, five minim instead of four, whatever it is, that's Baal Tosef. But to do a mitzvah twice is not Baal Tosef. That's the way he handles it. Right? He says, like, for example, if the Kohen comes in and does Birchas Kehuna once, and a new tzibur comes in and does it again, that's not Baal Tosef. He's doing the same mitzvah twice. That's his approach. And the other Rishonim, they all have different approaches. Comes along Rosh Weiss, and he says, but no, I have a better approach. And he doesn't just say this on his own. He supports it with several rhymes. He says, there's no Baal Tosef here. Because what's going on here is something very unique and special. It's all one mitzvah. It isn't two kiyumim. It isn't a kiyum and a hidur. It's nothing like that. It's all a continuous single mitzvah. What's special about the chiyuv min haTorah by shofar and by matzah? What's the expression of it? Be'erev tochlu matzos, that's by matzah. Yom trua yelachem. What does that really mean? So this is several achronim say this pshat. I want you to see, actually, I thought it would be helpful if you saw it inside the Rambam, the way the Rambam presents. Just take a quick look. There's like a few. The way the Rambam presents, look at the way the Rambam presents the mitzvah of matzah. You could share them. It's a very quick thing. Who notices anything interesting? Let me keep one. What's the mashmut of the Rambam? Mitzvahs ase min haTorah lechol matzah b'leil chamisha asar. There is a mitzvah to eat matzah. Implication being, every single morsel of matzah you eat the first night is a kiyum daraisa of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. It's only at the very end, he says, the minimum, if you want to know what the minimum you need to be yotze, that's a kezias. But what's the real mitzvah? Continuous eating of matzah. Every piece of matzah you eat. Yes, exactly. Excellent. Very, very good. Right? Rav Sternbach says that. Rav Sternbach, amongst the many achronim that talk about this word, Rav Sternbach says, yeah, and you get the same thing by sukkah, by Lel Rishona. Every time you're eating is another kiyum, right? And, of course, where do we learn the eating of Lel Sukkah from? Tesvav, from here, right? And that's why this limit stretches over there. But the point is that there isn't, and the same thing by the shofar too, it's a continuous mitzvah. And there's one other place people want to say, but it's machlokis actually, that we're another place where you see this. Anyone know? This type of idea where it's not just a minimum biyotze with a kezias, biyotze with a single act, but really there's a kiyum daraisa every time you do it. The arba minim. And the Anshe Yerushalayim. Anyone familiar with this? Right? There's a famous Gemara about the Anshe Yerushalayim. They used to go wherever they went, right? Bikur Cholim, Nichol Mavelim, wherever they would go during the day, they would carry the thing along. Right? And Yerushalmi says that's because they realize, right, that it was a key. Every time they are lokeach, the Arba Minim, it's also this continuous type thing. And that's the ideal way to do it. It's not a Hidur mitzvah at all. Well, and Tefillin would really, right, the essential Daraisa mitzvah of Tefillin exactly, is to wear it continuously the whole day. We're not able to keep up the gufnaki, so we keep it to a minimum. All right. So this answers, and this really explains a lot of things. First of all, it explains all the shitas rishonim, why they're calling this the chova, that the chova. Yeah, that is the chova, and that's the chova, and everything else is the chova too. And this is why the Maharal, right, the Maharal, he said, there's a whole little discussion about haseba, by the other achila you do at the Seder. Do you have to eat b'haseba? Everything else, right? So he says, what? L'chadchila, matzah, you should be eating haseba, every single achila's matzah, because it's the same exact thing. And what else goes along with this? You have to have lechem oni in the fullest sense for every achila's matzah. And if you take a form of matzah that's not lechem oni, but that's matzah ashira, for example, you are mevatel the mitzvah daraisa when you do that. So that's why, what? No kneidlach. The reason the briskers don't eat kneidlach is because they understood that if they have matzah ashira at any point, they are being mevatel, the kumvaseh, the kiyum mitzvah daraisa of achilas lechem oni. And, Rav Sternbach points out, the reason you shouldn't fall asleep during the suda is because if you do that, and you interrupt your kiyum matzah, right? You had a kiyum matzah that began when you made your first bracha and you had your first kezias. That was the kiyum mitzvahs achilas matzah. That continues until the afikomen, one long stretch. If you have hesek adas, the gamrei, by falling asleep, you just messed it up. And now, what comes into place? Ein maftirin, achar achilas matzah. You can't, your achilas matzah, mitzvah, is what has to be the final act. This answers a very chashuv question, because what's the point if this was Rishus, the Afikoman was just Rishus? This is what Larry, like you were saying. If the Afikoman was just an Achilles Rishus and wasn't Achilles Mitzvah, then what's the point of Ein Maftirin Achareha? Right? The Ein Maftirin Halacha, that you shouldn't have anything to eat after that last matzah, is so you should have the Mitzvah's matzah beficha. It should be the matzah that was a mitzvah. So if you interrupt your meal by falling asleep, you've interrupted the mitzvah of Achilles Matzah. Any matzah you eat when you wake up is matzah reshus. It's an achilas rishus. I'll tell you what it's analogous to. Let's say you bench. This is what's analogous to. No. Let's say the way we're in Noheg. We're not Noheg this Chumrah, right? We don't pask in this way, but the Ma'aril said we should, right? But how do we pask? We pask in if you fall asleep during the Suda, you can eat your afikomen and then keep going, right? Now let's say you ate your afikomen and you benched, right? Can you have another piece of matzah?
No.
Why not? Why not? Not eat anything.
No.
Why?
Actually,
why can't you eat anything?
That's only until we finish the kosos.
Yeah. Other than the fourth kos, right?
After the four kosos, if you want.
No, but the only.
They say if you
want. Oh, we're going to get into coolers that we don't hold by. Yeah, go ahead.
It's up to time coolers.
You're running into time constraints.
Time constraints.
Time constraints. Getting the
FSOs. Oh, you're doing the Avi Nazer, the whole thing? Right. You can make a Tanai about using Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
And then
that thing.
Then you finish the
balance. Right, let's say no time constraint. In a normal scenario, the din is that Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach Afikomen, and nowadays it's Ein Maftirin, have it, take it. Ein Maftirin Achar HaMatzah, right? So you're not allowed to eat anything after the matzah. The reason you're not allowed to eat it is because you have to have Tam matzah b'fichu. You have to go to sleep with the tam of matzah, right? But it's got to be the tam of the matzah that's a mitzvah. That's why you can't even have matzah. It's not like you just a taste of matzah is the magical formula. You have to have the taste of the matzah that was the mitzvah of achilas matzah that night. So therefore, in a normal circumstances, once you bench, no more matzah. That's what the Ma'aril saying goes on. If you fall asleep in the middle of your suda, since the real achilas matzah mitzvah was taking place from the beginning and continues on through the whole night until the end, you just broke it, now you're stuck. You cannot eat another thing. It's as though you benched after the afikomen. The mitzvah, you can't. No, you've already been mekayim. That would be Baal Tosif. You want to start again and do another achilas matzah? You did, you were mekayim the mitzvah to the fullest extent you can do.
You just said you could do a mitzvah a second time.
Huh? That was Tosfos's answer to the kasha. We don't pass him like that. You definitely will be over on Baal Tosfos if you start adding on extra kiyumim of mitzvahs.
But the Rambam says the mitzvah is the whole night. He doesn't say a break in the night. He says the whole night.
As long as it's all continuous, you can make another bracha achilas matzah now. I'm asking you. You can make another when you do this weird thing that you're talking about doing. You can make another bracha? All right. It's good. It's 10 o'clock. We got just enough time for the new part of this year. Hold on. I want to add something. So where are you going? All right. The other things are not hesekadas. But never have you been mesiach das from the mitzvah of achilas matzah. The night, and thank you for the segue. Good one. The segue is, what the point is the essential, critical mitzvah of the night is achilas matzah. It is definitely the central point. You are not mesiach das by going through a seder. You have the das of the matzah on your mind all the way through, until the afikomen. From the moment you have the first kezayis to the moment you have the afikomen, you are involved in be'erev tochlu matzos. This night you will eat matzah. That's the way the Rambam formulates it. That is definitely the way. This is a mainstream shita. This is everybody holds by this concept that it's be'erev tochlu matzos. The kezayis is a minimum, right? You shouldn't think you're yotzei the mitzvah achilas matzah that way. You should really follow the Ma'aral. I think that's not a bad hidur to be du haseva every time you eat matzah. Because every kezayis matzah you eat, every piece of matzah you eat, is mekayim a mitzvah daraisa of achilas matzah. Now, the question is, that I want to get into with Rav Nevinsol. Rav Nevinsol has a beautiful idea. He says, why is the matzah, what's with the matzah? What's so important? What are we getting out of the matzah? What's the lesson of the matzah? Right? So if I asked you, what do we eat matzah on Pesach for? What's the philosophical underpinnings of the Kiyum Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? I hope that you guys think about these things because it'll give a lot more meaning to the mitzvah if you do. Why are you eating matzah on Pesach? Oh, chipazon. So Rav Nevinsel says, everyone's going to say chipazon. He's right. He's good. Rav Nevinsel is so stark. He says, they're all going to... Good job.
Thank you.
So he says, but let me ask you something. He says, I'm talking for Rav Nevinsel now. He's going to ask you. He's going to say, oh, so it's all about this great, we should be mindful of the fact that we got out of there very quickly. Some people say 18 minutes, right? That's the 18 minutes. We got out in 18 minutes. 3 million people got out in 18 minutes. That's pretty good. That's something to be laudatory about, right? So he says, and let's say it took an hour. That wouldn't have been a tremendous miracle. That wouldn't have been an incredible, incredible miracle. Is that really it? Is it all about Shalohit Spiku, B'tzeikam, Lahachmitz? Is that really what this mitzvah is about? He says, I'll give you a raya mukhrachas. It's not true. He says, when was the chiyuv to eat matzah on Leil Pesach? And this goes back to what we were talking about before. When was that given? What is the date of the original chiyuv of achilas matzah at the Seder? What was the setting of the achilas matzah with the Korban Pesach? When was that chiyuv dictated? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when. Well before there was any rushing out. You're going to tell me, oh, well, Avraham Avinu had matzah, and they all had it, and it's like in anticipation, nevuah. Okay, that's, chassidus shetara. I'm into reality. Reality is, Hashem gave me this chiyuv. Obviously, Rav Nevinsel points out, there's more to this mitzvah. It's not just about this nice little cute thing about chipazon and all that stuff. So what is it? What is special about achilas matzah? So he says, well, what is the real other mitzvah of Pesach that's the most significant? The iser achilas chametz, right? What is the only thing yechayv kares for? Ba'ir al ba'yimatzeh. We go crazy. I don't know about in your houses. Crazy is the only expression I could use for what goes on in my house about chametz. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, clinically crazy, right? There are DSM-3 diagnoses for what goes on. So, what's with that? Why is that so important? So he says, let's take the two together. Chametz and matzah. That's what Pesach is all about. Chametz and matzah. That's a pair that belong together, right? They're so similar, right? Everyone knows the famous thing. What's the difference between chametz and matzah?
Just a little bit.
Right. In many ways. Literally in the words, ches, mem, tzadi, and hey, mem and sadi. What's the only difference? The ches and the hey. The only difference between the ches and the hey is that little tiny little thing, right? And Rav Nevinsel says, hey, see, and it's heading up, right? The difference in chametz and matzah is that little tiny piece. And he says, and what's the difference in physical reality between chametz and matzah? Right, what? A cold show, a little time, 18 minutes, a little more, boom, chametz and matzah. What's the point? What's the point of this? So Rav Nevinsel says, he says, it's really sending home a message. A Jew, the night of the Seder, should be filled with this message. You should be filled with the message of the tiny, tiny little difference between chametz and matzah. What does chametz represent? What does matzah represent? So he tells you, chametz, it's all ruchnius. Chametz represents where the Jews were in Mitzrayim prior to the Geula. Where were they? The 49th level of Tumah. They were so close to the 50th, which is where the Mitzrayim were, right? There's so many midrashim about, there was very little difference between the Jews and the Mitzrayim. Right before the Geula, right? Why does it, we say this great thing about Hashem himself, not al yidei malach, not al yidei saraf, Hashem himself did it. You know what Midrashim say, you know what Chazal say, the reason Hashem had to do it? Because the malachim couldn't tell the difference between the Mitzrayim and the Jews. They look so similar. They acted so similar. We needed Hashem. The Atzmo is the only one who can be machalik between a Jew and a Mitzray. What's the thing on Yamsuf? What's the famous Chazal over there from the Zohar, right? On Yamsuf, right? They're of the Avodah Zarah, they're of the Avodah Zarah. Why are you saving them and letting them drown? They're so similar. So Rav Nevinsel says, if you look, where is it? The Rambam. Rambam really emphasizes this. In the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, he gives you the history of Avodah Zarah. Did you ever look at this? You should take a look at this. Many times the Rambam gives you history lessons. And when he does it, he's driving home very significant points. So here, he goes through the history, Perek Aleph, Enosh, people in the beginning, everybody believed in God, everyone knew there was a God, right? Adam and Eve, they were talking to God, it was pretty close. Then over time, what happened, people looked up the stars and the sun and the moon, they said, these are the servants of God, Let's do something for them. Started out like that. We're going to do a little something for the servants of Hashem. Good intentions. And then over time, as things moved away, they became deities in themselves, etc., etc. We all know the story. Led to a horrible Avodah Zarah. The world is over the Avodah Zarah. So he goes through this whole history, and then he talks about Avraham Avinu when he was 3, or some say when he was older, whatever it was. He saw the light. He understood Hashem. And he told it to Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yaakov's sons. And there was a chevra of people that didn't go for Avodah Zarah. But then what happened? They ended up in Mitzrayim. And he says, again, they fell apart, and Klal Yisrael were about, this is the expression he uses, it's a modern Hebrew expression as well, kim'at kat. Have you heard that expression? They were like this close. That's like saying they were just a second away, and they were going to be totally nekar from where they potentially could get. All the work of Avram, Yisuf, Yaakov, the whole thing was about to be out the window, right? They were that close. 49th level of Tumah, when suddenly we had the Geula. And the Geula took them where? All the way from that low level to the great heights of Matan Torah, etc., etc. So he says, so you see, this is one of the most important messages of the Seder, is that people should be aware of the fact that to go, you can be to the depths and the lowest points, the 49th level, close to Mitzrayim, unidentifiable independently from Mitzrayim, and in a moment, with Geula, you can make it to the greatest heights of Kedusha. He says that is the message of hope, that a person has to start the Yontav of Geula with. You have to realize that Yeush is totally out of the question. A Jew can never be Miyayish. There's never a point, a low point in a person's life where it's worth giving up. And that is the message of the Seder night. So I'm saying to myself, when I get to this point, I go, and then so I want something more than this. You got me a little excited, but really, you know, like it got a little flat. So, Ari Wieder gave me this sefer. I don't want to lose this place. And as I was like thinking through this Rav Levinson, and I'm saying, okay, so I get it. You know, there's an important message to the Seder night that we should have this idea of the close proximity between the depths of Tumah and the greatness of Kedusha, and how in a flinch it could change, and I shouldn't be Miyayish. So I'm reading, I said, but where's the take-home message on a daily basis or on something that somebody could really internalize? So I'm thumbing through this thing. This is a sefer called Eitzos V'Hadrachos. It's from the Stipler. It's really an amazing sefer. You know, Ari Wieder gets very excited about a lot of different svarim, right? He always tells me about. And I've always said, I got to see these svarim that he's getting so excited about. Finally, I took the time out, and I wanted to see, what's he so excited about? And this one is unbelievable. It's really letters and issues that people have. You think the Stipler that's living in Bnei Brak, in these Dalet Amos of Torah, he goes nowhere else. He's learning continuously. He's Kulo Torah. What does he know about people? What does he really know about personalities and human nature and the problems people have? You go through the Sefer, and it's unbelievable. His insight is tremendous. It's either working through Nebuah or, you know, Kulo Torah. But it's an unbelievable thing. So he gets to this letter from this person who was Miyayish. It was a person who felt that they've already done enough Averos and they just can't come back. I'm ready to give up. So he tells him, he says, here's my Eitza for you. He says, you need to be Koveya Balibcha Bevada'ut the lo safek klal o klal she'ein lenefesh Yisrael Yisya'esh b'shum ofen ma'olam. A Jew should never be Miyayish. It's an unbelievable thing. He says, and I'm going to tell you something that you're going to know every day and that you're going to encounter every day. There's a reason. You know why Hashem told us that there's a mitzvah of Zechus Mitzrayim every single day? It's for this purpose and this purpose alone. Because the message of Yitzias Mitzrayim, just like what Nevinson was saying, is one, never be Miyayish. And therefore, every time you are going to be Zohar Yitzias Mitzrayim, I want you to remember this. And he goes through the whole thing and he says, because Klal Yisrael were at the lowest depths, right on the precipice of, right on the edge of Yeush, and yet Hashem saved them. Hashem didn't let it happen. And they made it up to the greatest levels of Kedusha. The reason that we should be mindful every day of Zohar Yitzias Mitzrayim is for that very, very penetrable and significant lesson that a person should never be Miyayish. And ultimately, that is the grand, you were right, the grand, but here's my last sentence, the grand message of the Seder night is that it's a night of hope, you know. And I think, particularly in our tough times, I don't know, when I follow the news lately and what's going on in the world, it's Lagabe Eretz Yisrael, I get very depressed. There's so much more and more, it seems every day to me, that the antagonism of the world just keeps growing and growing, and all the clever publicity that the Arabs are maintaining to make Klal Yisrael look so bad and so horrible in the eyes of the world, and all the developments of people talking to Hamas and all what's happening, you can get very depressed and very miyayish. I think that we should take the Seder night message of hope and not to be miyayish, and this great message that you can go to these great depths and in a moment instantly be taken out of it, and it should bring us great chizuk and help us get through these very, very trying times. No, I think we'll probably continue. Let's right. Batika is next week, so that's total. Batika next week, and then Pesach. So after Pesach, we'll continue. It'll be right. The 21st. Right?